Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
We have been talking quite a bit over the last while about hearing God, listening to God. And we're going to do that again this morning, specifically focusing on why we need to hear God's voice. Maybe some of you are saying, well, that's all good and fine, but really, what's the importance? Why is it so important for us to actually hear his voice? Hopefully, I can answer some of that for you today. I'll just say right from the start, too, that some of this came from Hearing God seminar from Church Renewal, so some of this is content I'm kind of stealing from somebody else. But it's good, hopefully. So before I began doing transition work as a transition pastor, I had been a pastor for quite a long time in different churches, but we had some time of not being in a church at all. I had finished at one church, and I sent out resumes everywhere. I mean, I sent out a lot, all over BC and Alberta and Saskatchewan, even into Manitoba, some rural churches, some even city churches. I thought, God called me to be a pastor, so I'm applying, I'm out there, I'm willing. And there was, well, there's one place that did have me become a candidate, and it was very clear it wasn't a fit. But in that process, God did some work in my life and in Lynette's life, and we began to realize that there's other things happening. God's doing something. So in that process, I ended up getting a job working as a delivery driver for Willie's Trucking in Grand Prairie. This was not what I thought my life was about. So there were some days I had to work pretty hard at being joyful in my job. But as I did my job, I think there was something that fits really well with what we're talking about this morning. As we think about, why do we need to hear God's voice? You see, my job was to show up in the morning at 4:45 and go through a stack of paperwork and figure out all the deliveries that were on my route. Because everybody kind of had their area, their group. So I'd go through this list, find all the ones that were mine, and then go on the floor and look for all the boxes and pallets and everything that was the right thing for me to be delivering that morning. So I'd load the truck, I'd go and deliver. Some of them I had to be delivering by 6 o'clock in the morning, so I had to be quick to load and get it there. I'd deliver. Usually there was another delivery happening after that. But in the afternoon, then I'd drive around to the places that were already calling in and saying, we have stuff we want you to pick up and send out. Okay, so all of that to say, when I came in the morning, I didn't have to guess about what my job was, what my role was. The paperwork clearly said, this box has to go to this company. This pallet has to go to this company. I knew what I was supposed to do. I did it. I wonder if sometimes we wonder, what am I supposed to do? We have a lot of questions about life. What am I supposed to do? Maybe it's a question about, should I sign up for basketball at school? Should I take that class? Should I look for a new job? Is this the person I should marry? Big questions. Should we move? Should we sell the house? Should we buy a new house? Should we? And all these questions, sometimes they feel a little smaller. Sometimes they feel like big questions. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I think I could figure this one out. But there's times we know that we can't really figure them out unless God helps us. At least I realize that. There's some questions I've had in life where I think, unless God helped me with this, I don't think I would have known what to do. I might have tried to be somewhat efficient in decision-making, but there's something about knowing that God directs our path. Something about knowing that when we listen to him, he will help us to do the things he's asking us to do. What am I supposed to do? This is really the question that we can ask God, because he wants to answer us. And he knows what's right for us. He knows better than we do, I think. I wonder if some of you haven't had that, where you've had a situation and you thought you had it all figured out, and then God kind of, you realize God's redirecting you in a different direction. Right? Sometimes you think you have it all figured out. So we want the one who knows what's right for us to speak into our lives. We can ask God, what am I supposed to do this today, this week, with my life? We can come to God each morning and ask for his assignment for the day. Why not? He might not give you a stack of papers and say, these are the deliveries you need to make today. But he might give you some direction for the day. I know sometimes in my morning prayer time, it's like I need to all of a sudden stop and text somebody because I just feel like I should do that. God's put them on my mind. Maybe for some of you, as you're going through your day, you realize God's giving you some assignments for the day. When I worked at Willie's, I knew. The paperwork was very clear in saying, this is what you need to do. And so I knew what to do. Well, we don't have that kind of direction from God that he gives us a list of deliveries, a paperwork pile to dig through. I think most of us haven't gotten emails from God. And so how do we know what to do? We need to listen. As a believer in Jesus, we know what our general assignment is, and that's to glorify God. Right? In everything we do, we need to glorify God. Or we could even say to love God and love our neighbor. Right? Jesus kind of brought all the law down to, there's really two things. To love God and love your neighbor. Okay, so those things are good, but what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that? What do we do with our life? We need to continue to check in with God regularly to hear his direction for the day, his direction for our life, his direction for our work, for our family, for our church. Maybe there's a certain person he wants us to reach out to. Maybe there's someone he wants you to call. Maybe there's a certain action he's inviting you into that day. So to hear God's voice, well, we need to. We need to. Why? Well, we need to, first of all, so Christ can function as your Lord and King. So Christ can function as your Lord and King. Because he is, right? God is fully establishing his kingdom on earth. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. The idea is that God is establishing his kingdom on earth. He is bringing the kingdom of heaven to a reality, and he's using men and women like you and me to do that. He is establishing his kingdom. And those men and women and boys and girls who want to advance God's kingdom on earth, well, they need to hear from him. What does he want us to do? Battles and kingdoms. So if you're trying to establish a kingdom, there's going to be a battle. If you're trying to establish a kingdom where someone else thinks they're in charge, there's going to be a battle. We're in a battle. Battles and kingdoms require constant communication. We need to hear from our Lord and King. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There's a battle going on. And it's not a battle about flesh and blood. Even sometimes when we think that there's people against us, we're in a battle with some person, it's really not that person. Right? There's someone who's behind the evil that others do. And Satan is very busy. There's an enemy, the devil, who's been looking to wreck the beauty of God at every chance he has. He loves to bring chaos to God's order. He loves to destroy good relationships. So we need to be alert and listen to Jesus. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We see a problem, and we think we have a way to deal with it. Quite often, right? At least some of us fixer people. As soon as there's a problem, we'll figure it out. Maybe we're creative in our ideas, or maybe we just push through. But we're going to make it happen. Well, maybe not. Sometimes it just doesn't work. We need to hear from God, to hear what his direction is for us in this case. This next little section I think is really, really interesting. So I think you should follow it closely. Here's what it is. King David understood these things about God, and this is why he went to listen for the Lord's strategies to fight his enemies. So King David was fighting real enemies, right? There's an actual enemy. The Philistines are coming, and they're fighting against him. 2 Samuel 5:19 says, and David inquired of the Lord. So he's asking God. He's not just saying, oh, we got our army ready to go. We're going to go for it. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So God says, go for it. I'll give you victory. And they do, and they have victory. But then, only a few verses later, things change. Eventually, the Philistines returned, and David inquires again. Now, the Philistines show up a few times, don't they? They don't give up. So the Philistines come again, and David knows what to do, right? Because God already told him, go up and fight. Except that he doesn't pretend to know or assume to know. It says in verse 23 of 2 Samuel 5, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up, go around to the rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. New orders from the master on a very similar situation. He could have just said, well, I know what happened last time. I'm going to do the same thing. I think sometimes we do that. Well, God has guided us in a certain way this time, so of course it's going to be the same way the next time. Maybe not. Maybe when we actually pay attention, he's saying, no, I want to redirect here a little bit. This is not going to be the same situation. I'm going to work in a different way. New orders from the master. So in order for us then to understand, we need to be in constant, regular communication with our King. Now, if somebody thinks it's only Old Testament, well, the New Testament was the same way. There's a story in Acts 16, verse 6 to 10. It says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul wanted to know where to go next. They thought they had a plan. They were about to go in a certain direction. The Holy Spirit said no. The Spirit of Jesus said no. Then he has this vision. Come. And he very clearly understands that God has been speaking. I think it's interesting that there's two ways of God communicating in that situation. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, says no to one place. Sometimes when he speaks to us, there's a no. Sometimes he has a better plan than what we're expecting. And so then a vision redirected them to a different place. Now, some of you may say, I've never heard the Holy Spirit speak. I never had a vision. But I think he does want to speak to us. And it may not be a vision. It may not be an audible voice. It may be that he just prompts you, even through reading scripture or to talking with a friend or in your prayer time, and you realize God has been saying something to you. It may be a no. It may be a yes. So we need to check in with our Lord and King. What next, God? So we need to hear God so Christ can function as your Lord and King. Secondly, we need to hear from God so God can function as your Father. So God can function as your Father. Matthew 5:45 says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. God wants to have a relationship with us as a Father. Now I understand, some people don't have a really good relationship with their Father, and when someone mentions their Father, they may not think that's a good way of thinking about God. But if you have a good relationship with your Father, you understand how you want to be with Him and His presence. You want to talk with God. You want to read His Word. You want to hear from Him. You want a relationship, not just a knowing about, but a knowing of Him. We need to hear God so we can have a relationship with Him as a Father. John 17, verse 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Jesus is praying for us to have that knowing relationship with God. Not just information in a book, not just information in our head, but a relationship where we really believe that He's having a conversation with us when we pray, when we talk with Him. That this is not a one-sided, I'm going to send my information up there and hope he does something with it, but it's a conversation. We're walking through things as friends. But without communication, without hearing, you cannot have a good relationship, just like you can't have a good marriage. For those of you who are married, you know this, right? If you don't talk to each other, there's going to be some problems. Lynette reminds me sometimes about that. Because I forgot to tell her something. And we need to be at this place at this time. And you didn't tell me that. Or, well, I have to work that night or whatever. So we have to talk, right? And so as a relationship with our Father, we need to have conversation. We need to be able to hear from Him and be able to talk with Him. You cannot have a good father-daughter, father-son relationship if you never talk. The Heavenly Father, then, here's a few things He does. He assures His children. Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You know, sometimes we struggle with assurance of salvation. One of the ways that you can be sure of your salvation is when you know that He speaks to you. When God is speaking to you, you know that He's real. You know that you have a relationship with Him. You have a faith in someone who is very much real and concerned about you. So earthly fathers assure their children of their love for them. They communicate that through actions and usually words, right? The father warns his children of danger. He speaks words of encouragement and words of warning. Like any father, right? Don't touch that. Don't go there. Or, way to go. You did good. Right? And it means so much for the child to hear the father say that. It means so much when we feel God saying that to us. Number three, the Heavenly Father comforts His children. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. We might not use the word affliction, but I think there's probably many of us that have some afflictions even this week, where we had something happen that wasn't the easiest, or wasn't something we liked, or what that just didn't go the way we wanted. And He says, I want to comfort you in whatever that thing is that you're facing, that situation, that person you're dealing with, that whatever it is, that health issue. He wants to comfort as a Heavenly Father comforting His children. Number four, the Heavenly Father counsels His children. Psalm 16:7 says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. There can be great value in going to a counselor, and probably many of you have experienced that, where you go to someone who will listen and give some proper advice. Maybe it was a marriage situation, a relationship of some kind, or some personal things you're working through, and you say, I need someone to help me. Someone who's got some training, maybe, or just this gifting to know how to listen and counsel. Well, the Lord wants to be involved in this. The Heavenly Father wants to be involved in this counsel. This is not just, it's great to go to someone, but to recognize that He wants to give us counsel. Open the Scriptures, allow God to speak to you that way. Talk to Him. He wants to be giving you counsel as a child of His. Number five, there are additional aspects, right? There's all kinds of things we probably could go on for a while on our relationship with God and the things that He wants to do for us. He wants to guide us, provide for us, discipline us, teach us, motivate us, protect us, encourage us, forgive us, and maybe you could add a lot of things to that list. And maybe you're saying, you know, I think I experienced about three or four of those this week because I know that He's been walking with me. 1 John 1, verse 3 says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Like a human father, God wants to have regular input into our life and the choices that we make. He wants to have input. We need to hear God so Christ can function as our Lord and King. We need to hear so God can function as your Father. And third, we need to hear from God so He can be your life. So it can be your life. The Bible uses two words which are both translated as life, bios and zoe. Now, if some of you just finished school and were in high school, you might have been taking a biology course. In a biology course, that's where the bios part fits in. Biology is all about the physical, the human stuff, the stuff that people see. Your hair and nose and eyes and mouth and arms, right? They see you. This is your physical body. And it gets nourished by taking in food and water. There's a zoe part. This is that conscious, spiritual personality which you can't see, but it's there. It's the real you, right? We have a physical body, but inside of it is really that real you. that the Spirit communicates with, right? Your spirit, your soul with Him. And this life in us, this one, it gets nourished by drawing on God for life. You need to be communicating with the Father. You need to be communicating with Jesus. You need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit so that your self, your real person, is getting nourished. John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life," or Zoe, "that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." In John 15, 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So to do anything of any real lasting value, we need to be connected to the life-giving Father. Some people talk about leaving a legacy. They think, "I have to do something special so people will remember me." I don't think those things even matter as much, except the fact that they might remember Jesus because of your life, right? This is about a relationship with Jesus, received from the life-giving Father. After Jesus' baptism, and then he was fasting for 40 days, if you've even tried it 1 or 2 or 3 days, you know that 40 days is a long time. You get a little tired, I would think, a little weak. The devil came to Jesus and said to him, "You haven't eaten in a long time, you better eat. Command these stones to turn into bread." Jesus said, "You're wrong. I have been eating. I've been feeding on God's words, and that's why I'm strong enough to resist your temptation." Right? Matthew 4, verse 4. He said this, "It is written," and he's quoting from the Old Testament, "man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Our life is in the words of God. John 6, 63, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Or Isaiah 55, 11, "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." In some mysterious way, Jesus abides in the very words that proceed from him so they can accomplish and achieve what is spoken. Now, if we go back to creation, right, it was spoken into existence, right? When Jesus speaks, when we read his word, when we read scripture, when he speaks into our lives, it's not just words, but he's giving us life. They achieve what he wants in us. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." John 14, 27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So you see what Jesus, the Word, does? He gives courage and strength. He sustains, holds together all things, and calms our troubled hearts. In Acts 23, verse 11, it says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Paul couldn't turn his fears into courage, but when Jesus stood near him in that prison and spoke a word of courage, his fears subsided. Maybe some of you need the courage and have some of your fears subsiding today. John 10:10 says, "I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came to give us life. True, full, abundant life. Meaningful, purposeful, joyful life. I think sometimes we are so consumed with accomplishing things, gaining things. And that's not quite what he's including here. It might be part of it, but this idea of a joy deep within us because of a relationship with the one who created us. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He came to take our burdens and carry them with us. Yes, he took our sins and took them away. But he's walking through life with us in the things that we have to face day to day. He is walking with us in them. You know, some people draw life out of you, right? Some of you probably have some of those situations where you meet with someone and you realize by the time you're done, you're exhausted because they just feel like you're getting drained for whatever reason. And you're just tired. But then there's others. You spend a little bit of time with them and you are so full. You are filled with excitement. You go home that evening, you can hardly sleep because you think, wow, that was a great time. Jesus wants to fill us. He will never drain us. He wants to fill us with that excitement, even way more than you've ever experienced with someone who fills your life here on earth. God wants to pour into your life. We need to hear from God so we can know how to live our life with peace and joy in relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. And the Spirit continues to speak the words of God into our lives, even today. So are you listening? And are you asking him questions so he can answer you? I think sometimes we need to figure out how to ask those questions. What I mean is this. We sometimes are so vague in our prayers that we would never even know if God answered. We pray, and in the end, we're not quite sure what we ask God. And maybe we weren't brave enough to ask, or maybe we thought this is too big, really, but I should talk to God about it, so I will. But in the end, you haven't really asked him for anything. I want us to do a listening exercise in just a minute. But first, a story from Luke 18. Luke 18, 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening, and they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. Jesus asked the man what he wanted. I'm thinking, why did he do that? The man's blind, he's coming to you. Probably that's one of his biggest issues in life. But Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think some of us need to respond like he did with that need that we've been carrying for a bit. Maybe some of us have something that we haven't really even talked to him about it because we're not quite sure what to do with it, but we have this need, this concern, whatever it is that we're carrying. And Jesus is just saying, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you?" And we can clearly just tell him. I think there's a couple steps here. First, decide what you want Jesus to do for you. What do you want him to do? Then ask that question. Whatever that need is, say, "I need help with this." Tell him clearly what you want. And then listen and record your answer. I think it's good sometimes to write it down because then we can take some time. Is this right? Did I hear correctly? God, can you clarify what's going on? Have a little conversation with God about it. Allow him to speak to you. Now, I want to tell you, I've never heard an audible voice, but I know people who have. Some people have had visions. Some people have dreams. Some people are reading scripture and something just, they know that God has spoken through a verse. But I know for me, sometimes it's just impressions in my mind. You know, I ask a question. I lean a lot on James when he says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and he'll give you wisdom. So if I'm asking God for something, why wouldn't he respond? And so I know there's times where I'm not even done the question and I already feel like God said yes or no in my mind. It just seemed like it's just instantly there. I think we need to believe that that's from him. Because why would he not want to answer? He wants to. So let's pause and ask God for whatever that is in your mind. Maybe something personal, maybe for someone else, maybe for the church. Tell him what you want. We'll wait for a bit. Ask your question. Wait for him to respond. Let's pray.
If God has spoken to you, then I invite you to respond as he wants you to. Maybe there's an answer he's given you already. Maybe there's an answer that he's continuing to give you. So I want to conclude with this. Why do we need to listen? So that we can hear from our Lord and King, so we can be loved by our Father, and so we can have the full life that he's giving us.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.